Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another Healing Hearts Ministries broadcast. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, and today I'm coming to you from the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard, East Elmhurst, Queens. This broadcast is dedicated to the rebuilding and the restoring and the renewing of God's people. Today, I would like to talk about God's love, and I would like for you to turn with me, Book of John and Chapter 3. The dictionary describes love as a feeling of strong or constant affection of one person for another person. You might call it a passionate attraction and desire. Some people get a queasy type of feeling in their stomach when they think that they're in love. But this concept of love is linked with romantic love and not God's love. And romantic love is actually based on emotions, but real love is based on God, because God is love. No definition of love can mean anything unless it's rooted in God and God's word. Love must have an anchor, something that it is attracted to, something that will not move. And that unmovable thing is God and his love. In the book of John, in chapter 3 and verse 16, we find these most important words: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, we find these words: "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And then verse 6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." I don't think there's any other verse in the Bible so much quoted as in John 3:16. In this one verse, it summarizes the entire Bible. All the highways of the Bible intersect in John 3:16. It's interesting to note that this verse contains 25 words, and the very middle word is Son, meaning the Son of God. If all roads lead to John 3:16, and then when you arrive at John 3:16, you will find Jesus at the center, it means Jesus is at the center of the entire Bible. A religious man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus late one night, and he asked Jesus a very poignant question. In John 3 and 4, Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus explained to him that unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus told him that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus was so perplexed at what Jesus said, because Nicodemus said in John 3 and 9, "How can these things be?" Then Jesus said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" John couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. He was perplexed because John had some preconceived notions and fixed thoughts about who could and who could not be saved. Nicodemus was a religious Pharisee. He knew God to be a God of holiness and a God of law and a God of judgment. Pharisees did not stress the love of God. And I can understand how he felt. But when you think about how evil man is, who would think that God would even care about us? For the very first object of God's love was not the world in its fallen condition on the sixth day of Genesis, when God saw that everything he had made was very good. But the very first object of God's love was the world that now lies in ruin and sin and rebellion, and followed by 6,000 years of mutiny and insurrection. And this insurrection was led by the very humans that God had created in his own image. And yet, without any change in our nature or character, the Bible says God so loved the world. God loves you. God loves us. There's very little merit in loving something that is already lovely. Anyone can love something that is lovely, but it takes God to love something that is utterly despicable and wicked. Man's sin is not God's misfortune, but it's man's fault. And the irony and the miracle is there is nothing God hates so much as sin, and yet he loves no one so much as the sinner. Nicodemus couldn't comprehend a God that was overflowing with boundless love. And most times we present God in such a way that it sounds like God is a hard God, angry and unforgiving, as if God must be persuaded to forgive us or to love us. But these verses tell us just the opposite. These verses tell us that forgiveness and love all started with God the Father. It was God who sent his Son. It was God who gave his Son. The only thing that God didn't have two of, he gave it. The Bible says Jesus was his only begotten Son. It is the Father's love that upholds everything. God is not out to satisfy his own desires for power. He's not out to zap you, to try to kill you. God is the Father who cannot be happy until his wandering children have come home. Remember the Father in the parable of the prodigal son? The son left home and went away and spent all of his inheritance in riotous living. Father did not give up on his son. He did not turn away. Every day the father went to the door to look for his son to come home. And the Bible says even though the son had spent everything that the father had given him in riotous living, the son one day came to himself and returned home. And guess what? The father was standing at the door waiting for his son to come back home. And that's just like what God is doing for us today. God does not slap men and women into submission. He yearns over them. He woos and entices them into love. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to me." God's love never quits. God's love never deserts you. The Bible says in Matthew 13:44 that the kingdom of heaven is like a buried treasure in a field, that when a man discovers it, he buries it again. He was so delighted with it that he went away and sold everything he had and he bought the field. You are that treasure in a field that Jesus Christ has given everything for. Also in Matthew chapter 13, the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man who went searching for fine pearls. When he found a pearl of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. No other religion has gods like our God, like the true God. Their gods are changeable and unpredictable, but our God never changes. Nicodemus was looking for a God that was judgmental. Instead, Jesus told him about a God that loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And the word so has several meanings here. The first meaning was the way and the manner in which God's love is described. And that relates back to John 3:14, when the Bible says, quoting Jesus, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In the wilderness, the people of God complained and murmured continuously, and God sent serpents to bite the people in the wilderness. And then God said, "Make a bronze snake, lift it up on a pole, and when people look at it, they will be healed." And when they raised up the pole and looked at it, they were healed, just like God said. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that sin is still biting the people of God. Trials and tribulations are still biting God's people. Doubts and fears and suffering and distress. People are still being plagued with worries and anxieties, health and sickness in the body. The sting of sin is still biting God's people today. But what Jesus was explaining is that whosoever looked to him, that is to Jesus, who was going to be raised up on a cross and die for our sins, would be saved. Look and live. Look to Jesus Christ and live. Likewise, in spite of our troubles, in spite of our doubts and weaknesses, in spite of the tribulations that you're going through right now, someone may have walked out of your life. Someone may have deserted you. There may be pain in your life, hurts and harms and abuses in your life, misuse in your life. Jesus says, if you look to him, you will be able to look and live. And when you look at Jesus, you can live and have abundant life. And we are healed when we look to Jesus. When we look to Jesus, we acknowledge our weaknesses and we acknowledge our limitations and we express faith in God's forgiveness and God's healing powers. God's motive for healing his people is that he loved us, the fallen people, the weak people, and even sinful people. I know it's hard for some of us to understand that God loves sinful people also, but God loves sinners. Read Ephesians 2:5 and you will see that. Furthermore, the word so means God so loved the world. It means that he loved the world intensely. God never does anything halfway or half-hearted. The word loved is past tense, meaning that he loved you before you were even saved, before you were even thinking about coming to Jesus. It's easy for someone to love someone once the Spirit of God is inside of them. But what the Bible is saying here is that God loved you before you came to him. And no one loves you as much as God loves you. Romans 8:39 tells us that nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The tense simply tells us how early God loved us. God does not love you because of what you are, but God loves you because of who he is. That's what 1 John tells us in 1 John 4:8. Bible tells us that God so loved this world that he gave, not just so that a few of his friends could be saved, a few relatives, or a few good Christians, but God gave his son so that the whole world could be saved. Who dare define the boundaries of God's love? True love gives. His love was not just in words, but God's love was in deeds also. You can give and not love, but you cannot love and not give. One of the first evidences of love in courtship is the giving of gifts. And oh, the gift that God gave, his only begotten son. God could have given gold or silver or diamonds. God could have given 1 million angels. He could have given half the universe. But we didn't need all of those things. None of those things could have saved us. He gave us exactly what we needed. That is what's so good about giving a gift of love. You give something that you would like to keep yourself. Never give someone something that you took out of the trash or that you're going to throw away. Love is not blind and stupid. Love gets the right gift for the right one who is loved. I think if we took Jacob's ladder and climbed and stood on the sea of glass before the throne of God and asked, "How much does God love you?" the angels in heaven would shout, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I think if we took wings and flew to the edge of the Milky Way and asked, how much does God love you? The stars would cry out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If we stood at the North Pole or the South Pole and asked, how much does God love me? The answers would come back, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. There's only one condition, if you may, or one thing God requires of us for this unbroken and endless love. The Bible tells us right in that verse what it is. Whosoever believes in him. God's love, no matter how great and wonderful, will not benefit you unless you attend to one of the most important prerequisites of the scriptures, and that's belief. Whosoever believes in him, whosoever trusts God completely, whosoever hath faith in God completely. I am so glad that the Bible used the term whosoever and didn't call a particular name or group or a particular segment of the population. The Bible said, whosoever believes in him. If the Bible said John Richardson or John Doe believes in him, I would be worried forever that there may be another John Richardson or another John Doe somewhere on the earth that qualified more than me. But the word whosoever, that includes all of the worst people in the world. It includes all of the wickedest people in the world. You cannot be excluded from a clause like whosoever. God says, whosoever believes in him. God tells us that if you believe in him, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I've read a lot of insurance policies over the years, and I've seen a lot of warranties and guarantees, and most of them have limits, and almost all of them have exclusions at some point or another. Some have a 90-day warranty or a 6-month guarantee, 5 years or 100,000 miles. But God wrote a policy with no limitations. God wrote a policy with no exceptions, but whosoever will. I have never heard of anything like that in all of my life. God certifies that this gift of salvation with his guaranteed love is indescribable, it's unsearchable, it's unfathomable, it's beyond finding out, it is completely incomprehensible. And Nicodemus tried to understand what God was telling him. It's all about God's law. The new birth is about God's overflowing love. And that's what God is. God is love. Who could ever doubt God's love? Whenever I'm down or I feel like I need a bit of encouragement, I always go to the book of Romans and chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we find these words in Romans 8 and 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns God's elect? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen for us, and is now even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate you from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? What God is saying in these scriptures, we must listen to very carefully. He is saying that no man, no person can separate you from his love. Who can do it? No one can do it. No distress, nothing that you're going through, nothing that you've been through, no famine, no nakedness, no peril, no danger at all will be able to separate you from the love of God. The Bible says, yet in all of these things, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nothing too high or nothing too low, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a powerful scripture. And what this scripture tells us is that there is nothing that's in this world that can separate you from the love of God. God's love is so powerful that nothing in this life or in death can separate you from God. May God bless you. May His love forever rest with you. May His power smile upon you, and may His grace forever be merciful to you. New Covenant Church of God is located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Or join us next Sunday at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship. I speak every Sunday morning at the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard. And if you would like to reach me by phone, you can call me at 917-935-5374. That's 917-935-5374. And you can always check out our website at healingheartsnyc.org. That's healingheartsnyc.org. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. God bless you today. My prayer for you today is that you seek the Lord daily and learn to feast upon Him so that you may live forever. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today so that people everywhere will be blessed by the good news of God's Word. My mission is straightforward and comes directly from the words of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Join with me in this great mission. I want you to know that I listen to every message, read and pray over every email and letter that comes into my office and website. I also would like to invite you to come and worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. at the New Covenant Church of God. Or you can learn more about Healing Hearts Ministries at healingheartsnyc.org. That's healingheartsnyc.org. Or you can call us at 917-935-5374. That's 917-935-5374. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.
You have been listening to Pastor Isaac Tapper and Healing Hearts Ministry, brought to you from the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11369. Join us on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for more Word and Worship, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical answers for today's difficult problems. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your financial support. If you would like to support this ministry or obtain a copy of today's entire program, call us at 917-935-5374 or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Join Pastor Tapper next week at the same time for more Healing Hearts, and may God's love continue to restore your life.